This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Manasseh, women, what does that mean? In general, women could be bought and sold. There's a verse in the Quran. There's a verse in the Quran, chapter 4, verse 19.
You say they had wives, but they still used concubines and stuff in those days.
Who?
That era, after, you know, defeating another army, they used to women as concubines. No different to what ISIS is doing now anyway. I mean, why do you think ISIS...
Why does ISIS come into our discussion?
No, I'm just saying, like, a lot of the things...
Amazingly, what happens nowadays, you know, it is very unfair to bring ISIS into every discussion on Islam. ISIS only came about when?
About five, six years ago.
No, less than that.
Okay, but
Wait. Now we agree that ISIS only came around.
Yeah, 5-6 years ago.
What do you have to say for 1,000 years of Islamic civilization?
Exactly. We're talking about ISIS ideology, not that they came.
I'm saying to send them to hell.
Yeah.
I'm saying, what do you have to say about 1,000 years of Islamic civilization?
Yeah, but
Islamic libraries, hospitals, universities, coexistence, peace, justice, protection for Jews and Christians. What do you have to say about that? Ottomans. Then the Umayyads in Spain, and then the Ayyubids.
Armenians, if I remember correctly.
Oh, when was that?
About 100.
So you ignored 5 centuries of Ottoman history, and you jumped to Armenian genocide.
You're being very selective.
No, I'm not being selective. You are.
I'm saying.
Look at Ottoman history from year 1299, from the time of Osman the First to 1924. And amazingly, have you studied? Have you studied the Armenian genocide? Have you studied it?
No, but I suppose
okay. Who was responsible for Armenian genocide?
I suppose the Armenians. Then.
No.
Then who?
No.
Turkish government.
Turkish government.
Yeah.
And who were they? Young Turks.
Yeah.
Do you know who Young Turks were?
Who were they?
Do you know who they were?
Young Turks.
Okay, this is your homework. Go and study. Go and study and see who Young Turks were.
Okay.
Whether they were actually
they were actually
Ottomans or not. Because when did the genocide take place?
About 1920 or something.
Okay. During the First World War.
Yeah.
Okay. And this was amazingly Bernard Lewis, who is considered to be an authority on Ottoman history.
Mm-hmm.
Bernard Lewis actually has come out, and he's Jewish, by the way, and he's very close to Israel. That says a lot, by the way. Yeah, and he is of the opinion that the Turkish government, there is a distinction between Turkish government and Ottoman government. The Ottomans are already gone. Ottomans are gone. By the year 1900, Ottomans are finished. Okay, you don't have Ottomans there anymore. Okay, so because Ottomans had plenty, ample opportunities to massacre the population of lands they conquered. Did they do it?
The fact that
you mention Armenians, you obviously have no other examples to give.
But what I'm trying to do is just balance, because you were saying, oh, they did this good, this good. I'm just saying that, look,
Young Turks were a bunch of secular activists who effectively got rid
of...
No problem. Let me cause some intrigue so even because Young Turks were a bunch of secularist activists who effectively removed the Ottoman caliphate from its place.
Right.
So, if anything, Ottomans were the victims, not the aggressor here. If the blame goes to the Turkish government, it goes to Young Turks. But Bernard Lewis even disputes that. He goes, it was not the government policy, it were the people, the Turkish people in the countryside, who started to attack Armenians, because the Armenians were siding with Russia. So that's why Armenians were treated that way, which is wrong, which is not the Islamic policy. Islam does not, under any circumstances, allow indiscriminate killing, even in war. Even in war, the Prophet Muhammad and his teachings are very, very clear that even in war, do not cut trees, do not scatter beehives, do not kill animals unless you're going to consume them for food, do not destroy buildings, do not demolish churches and monasteries, okay? Do not kill women, do not kill children, do not kill the elderly, do not kill monks and priests who are living in the monasteries. And the list goes on. And all of this comes from the Prophet. If we have clear-cut teachings of the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Why do we need to bring ISIS up every time we talk about Islam?
No, because obviously they believe that they're following the tradition.
So did the KKK. So did the KKK. So did the communists. Communists believe they are atheists, yeah, right? And they're doing it for atheism, right?
Now, communism is an ideology, basically.
Yeah, atheistic, an atheistic ideology, right or wrong?
Well, yes? From somewhere,
is atheism is not an ideology, you know. So okay. Communism, socialism, they're all ideologies. And okay, most ideologies, they tend to be sort of going one direction.
Extreme,
yeah, extremism.
Okay, no problem. Yeah. No problem.
So atheism is just like a belief. That's all. Okay. It's not an ideology. Okay. It's not like, oh yeah, we believe in this. We just say, okay, if there's enough proof, so we'll turn to religion.
So the point is, yeah, Islam has a magnificent history.
Yeah.
Okay. We have so much. Based upon what? Based and on, you are, Mr. Based upon what?
Based upon on what, most of the Islamic achievements that okay, were Iranian Persian.
What do you believe? What is magnificent to you?
What's magnificent? You tell me.
You said I don't think Islam's history is magnificent.
Yeah, tell me.
What do you think magnificent?
Tell me what's magnificent. You tell me.
Great. Economically, morally, ethically, politically, militarily, Islam was great.
Yeah, but again,
do you disagree?
In terms of
charitably, if that's a word.
Sorry?
Charitably, if that's a word.
Charitably, yes.
In terms of the academics, yes, right? Like, what can you say? Like, people always talk about... Like,
what do you know about Islamic academia?
People always talk about... Like,
what do you know about... What do you know about Islamic academia?
Well, a lot of these guys were like Persians, okay? They already had the knowledge from before.
No.
A lot of
no.
Knowledge came from
who was Persian? Name them.
Who was it? Who they all were. Like,
okay. Rumi. Let's say they were. Let's
always talk about Rumi. Right?
Wait.
Rumi was a Persian.
Wait, no. Rumi was from Balkh.
He was a Persian, yeah. Yes, he's Iranian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait. Rumi.
Balkh is in Afghanistan.
Yeah, exactly. He's Persian. Right?
Wait, Iran. Call it Persian, no problem.
Most of the Muslim achievements were Persian, Iranian, okay? And they already had a big civilization.
They already had
a big civilization.
So, Islamic Spain was all Persian.
What was the achievement now?
Do you know about the translations and the works written in Spain?
They translated it, exactly. They translated
no. The works
written in Spain.
Did you hear me? Wait. Did you hear me? Works written in Spain, original works written in Spain. On science, philosophy, history, you name it. Poetry, every single academic view.
But what you've got to realize.
Wait. Yeah. He's just making a claim now.
Yeah.
So some people just like to, you know, they smirk and they throw things at you and they think they made a point. But I want to show you. I want to show him why he's wrong.
Dynasty, like the Romans did, the Egyptians did. Yeah. So
absolutely.
It's just part
so what is so
many.
Unique? What is so unique
knowledge,
about Islam?
That knowledge
yeah, that's a valid point. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to ask me that question? What is so unique about Islam? Islam, in the words of Karen Armstrong.
Yeah, one person, yeah, opinion. Yeah.
You want me to give more names?
Well, I mean, again.
How many do you need?
There's a lot of self-opinion.
How many do you need?
People,
10,
but,
20? Yeah. I can give you names.
Well, okay, carry on. I'm sure you can.
Well, I just had one name, okay. But I can give you 20.
Okay,
you can count them.
I'll take your word for it. Okay.
So you don't want 20 names?
No, but I'll just continue.
So,
I'm just...
so that's why. I mentioned one person, so that you know that it's not my opinion.
Okay.
There are people who are not from the house of Islam, and they acknowledge the positive achievements of Islam. Islam, effectively...
But then he'll come across and say, likewise, I can name as many as you do who counteract your argument. But carry on.
Bring the names.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just going to... Well, he's going to come across.
Yeah, no problem.
On.
Bring the names. He can bring the names. Do you have any names?
Yeah, I'm one of them,
And who are you? You might be.
I'm not going to put my name, but
why not?
He's not famous.
You're a professor.
I'm not
you're a professor in history. Are you a professor in history?
Well, I could be.
Okay.
You want me to
leave it? Yeah, let's continue. Okay. Let's not go into some.
So, ad hominems and no problem. But when you make a point, and it's not based in evidence or sources, that it's just like camel's fart.
Right.
I'm sorry, yeah?
Especially
it's neither one. As they say in our language, Punjab. You know, are you from
No,
I'm from Pakistan. You know, half of my family's from Punjab.
Okay.
They have a saying, when camel farts, it's neither in the sky nor on the earth.
Okay.
Because it's in the middle.
Okay. Right?
So when you make a claim like camel farts, it's just a camel's fart.
Okay.
Right? So unless you bring evidence, sources, right? So my point is, Islamic civilization wasn't only Persian. You're wrong.
Not all of it, okay. But the great
even let's say 99% of them Persian. Let's say That's it. Who are they? Muslims or non-Muslims? Who are they? If there was something special about Persians, why were the Sassanids not able to produce people like Ibn Sina, people like Al-Farabi, people like Ibn Nafis, people like Rumi? Why were the Sassanids not able to do so? Why did they have to be Muslims and then suddenly wake up? And lo and behold, you see Persians coming out with poetry, science, literature, religion, theology.
The Persian predates Islam. The Persian literature predates Islam. It's not, you know, it's Islam.
Where is it? Where is it? Where is... Okay, such as...
Is
it pre-Islamic?
Yeah, Shahnameh is pre-Islamic, right?
Okay, when was it written? When was it written?
It was written... it was compiled by...
Firdowsi.
But when? About 1,000 years ago. But when? The story predates it.
Okay, wait.
The story is predates.
So you know when it was written, right?
Yeah, 1,000 years ago, yeah.
Written where?
Khorasan.
Where?
I don't know where.
In the Ghaznavid court.
Yeah, of course.
In the court of Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi. Who asked Firdowsi to write Shahnameh?
He wasn't asked to write it.
No. Do you know the history?
Yeah, I do know.
Do you know what happened?
Yes, I know what happened.
Okay, what happened?
He wrote the...
But you didn't know who was... You didn't know where it was written, so how do you know?
He wrote the Shahnameh because, okay, he wanted to compile Persian history because the Arabs and the Arab culture... And
it is not history. Shahnameh is not history.
It's legendary history.
It is fiction.
It's legendary history. Okay?
It is not history. Hello?
Yeah, but legend means history.
It's not history.
It's an oxymoron. When you say legendary history, it's an oxymoron.
It's the knowledge that was passed down.
Okay, so it's not history. It's either legend or history.
Zeus, you can't say it was history because that was legend.
No, that's mythology. That's history, right?
It's either legend or history.
Are you telling me that a Kayan in dynasty did not exist?
I'm asking, it's either legend or history.
Which one? You know, it's history that's passed down.
Have you read Firdowsi?
Yes, I've read the Shahnameh.
All of it?
Yes.
Okay, so... Give me one example, one story. Whose story have you read?
I've read about the Kayanian dynasty in Afghanistan or wherever it was.
No, Shahnameh. Which story have you read in Shahnameh? You've read the Shahnameh.
I've read the whole book.
Sohrab.
Brother, he's wasting your time on
this. Exactly, I know.
So
the point is, we understand that this gentleman is just throwing things in the middle without any substance.
Right, okay.
So we move on. Okay. Because it's Islamic civilization. Islamic civilization. Muslim civilization does not begin in 2011 when ISIS comes to rise. Okay. Islamic civilization started in the 6th century with the advent of the Prophet and the Quran. Okay. The Quran was revealed. It did something to the Arabs and they came out and they created the Islamic civilization.
Yeah, but how do you respect the Arabs? I mean, the way I look at it, they believe in all sort of different demigods.
No. So for them, we're talking about Muslim Arabs when they became Muslims.
Yeah, but how they became Muslims, say for example, I mean, for them, okay, someone's come to the store, okay, so that God will just believe in this God, no big deal. I mean,
I think it was as simple as that, because they actually explained why they believe in this God.
Yeah.
Okay? Have you read some of the sentiments?
First of all, now, for those people who be believing in some other form of demigod or whatever.
No, there's no demigod they believe in.
Or, you know, some idol worshipping or whatever the Arabs used to do at that point of time, because they were all idol worshippers.
So not you all. Cannot, not all.
Well, most of them anyway. Well, so for them, I mean, if it was very simple for them to stay believing some idol as a god, it won't need great sort of cognitive things. Is them believing.
So why did they fight Muhammad?
What?
Why did they fight Muhammad? Why did they try to kill him for 20 years?
Because he was upsetting them, I suppose.
Upsetting them?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they had something to do with
that. So if it was only the matter of believing in one idol or the other idol.
No, they didn't try to kill him. His uncle was protecting him.
We're having a discussion now.
It was something to do with trade and everything, because if everyone didn't come to Mecca, if they got rid of the idols, they would have trade or something.
No, that's a theory. That's a theory. But why would they come out of Mecca to attack Medina?
I don't know.
Hey?
Why did they come out of Mecca to attack Medina?
Because they saw him, perceived him as a threat.
Threat to what? He was politically insignificant.
Yeah,
he was so weak that they besieged him.
Obviously, they did perceive him as a threat, otherwise they wouldn't have bothered, would they?
Why? What was the threat?
I'm not a historian, but...
So the new faith did pose not only a religious, political, or economic threat, it posed an existential threat to them, right?
Yeah, because say for example, if I was head of a tribe, I believe in God, this God, I had power. Now, if someone else is saying, you come across and say, no, I'm the prophet, and all these should just believe in me, then I lose my power. So I'm going to go against
if,
you.
Would you, okay, if you just, if you didn't have firm belief in something, sorry, you can go. If you believed in something, let's say, if you don't have a firm belief in something, you just change one bicycle to another bicycle.
No, but they
one
tend car to follow their car. Tribal leader, don't they?
Okay. So they would fight and die for the tribal leader.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they used to do at the time, remember?
Right. Okay. So they would simply go out and fight the Romans and the Persians just because they love the tribal leader.
Well, I mean, people still do it. They join the military.
No, they don't. They don't.
Of course they do. I mean, you look at...
And they die of depression. You know the American army?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those who've been to Iraq?
Yeah.
You know the suicide rate?
Yeah.
Okay, so why were Muhammad's companions not committing suicide?
Yeah.
If you know why these people are committing suicide? Because they don't know why they're there.
Yeah.
They don't know why they have to kill children and women and bomb civilian areas. They don't know. But Muhammad's companions did no such thing. They believed that they were fighting for a just cause, and they established peace and justice in the land. And that's why they were so happy. And that's why they kept going as far as southern France and northern China and down India in Sindh. Okay, within Muhammad died, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in 632. Exactly a century later.
So, same reason as the Christian Crusaders went across and looted Jerusalem, I suppose. No. Was there faith in there?
No.
So you cannot make the same analogy.
The Crusaders. The
Crusaders barbecued Muslim because they were hungry dogs. Muslim didn't do that. That's the difference.
Well, that's Marathon Oman. Yeah, exactly. Marathon Oman. It's one incident where the Crusaders they cooked people and ate them.
Exactly.
Yeah, Muslims didn't do anything
didn't
like
do that.
Okay, Muslims had principles.
Yeah.
They could not go and cause indiscriminate destruction. Okay, amazingly, even archaeology highlights the point that Muslims, when they took cities, they flourished.
Yeah.
They started city of Jerash, for example, Jerash in Jordan. Okay, it was a Greek city, then it became a Roman settlement, and then it became a Christian settlement, and then the Muslims, the Umayyads, established their center in Jerash. It's still there.
Okay.
Archaeologists have studied that in the Muslim period, the economy of the city boomed. It exploded, you know. People became very prosperous, and this is, we're talking about Jews and Christians and Muslims.
Yeah.
Okay. And Muslims are the minority, by the way. Muslims were the minority, ruling class. They were only ruling, and the masses were Christians mostly, right? And they became prosperous after Muslims had taken these cities. So the claims of devastation you hear from Islamophobes or Islam haters, such as Robert Spencer and people like that, who's teaching the American military amazingly, you know, these are all lies. These are all lies. So the bottom line is, when you study history objectively, you come to realize that there is a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah.
You know? There's a lot of people don't understand.
But I'm sure...
And they make assumptions
that... There'll be other historians who'll be looking at it from a different perspective.
Bring them over.
I'd have to look it up. I'm not going into the history.
It depends what you want. Do you want objectivity or you want accountability, my view?
You want the truth.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So for that, you go and study academics.
Yeah.
Okay. What academics are telling us, when Muslims took these settlements, they flourished.
Mm-hmm.
We do not see any signs of devastation in archaeology.
Yeah. Yeah.
In archaeology, we do not signs of devastation. We do not see signs
of
devastation.
Yeah.
Okay, in Spain, in the Middle East, and in Central Asia, when Muslims went into Central Asia. Because I'll tell you why I know these things. One of my teachers from SOAS, from School of Oriental and African Studies, is Hugh Kennedy. And he has conducted archaeological work in Central Asia. And one of his students, her name is Fanny Bassard, she is French. She's a French archaeologist. She did archaeology in Jerash.
Yeah.
Okay. And both concluded that after the Muslims took these cities, these settlements, they flourished economically. And people prospered. And they can tell from the difference. You know, they have different ways of assessing pottery and how buildings were constructed and how people lived. And their food, from the food, they can tell whether they were happy or not, you know, the quality of the food. Yes, archaeologists, they conduct very delicate work and they come up with these conclusions.
So
archaeology is in favor of Islam, by the way.
Yeah.